Heavenly Father, by the clearness and brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace. All this I ask for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As some of you know, my family has a hobby farm that's about an hour south of the Twin Cities. And it was an important place for me growing up as a way for my family somewhat to be connected with farming roots that go back a few generations. But it was just, I think, as a 12-year-old boy, it was just fun to have some place to run around. I had an excuse to try to drive a truck at 14 instead of 15. So there were some advantages of having that hobby farm. Well, on the farm, we had sheep and cows. We had big gardens and, again, lots of room to roam. And I got to get some experience working with sheep. I think we first chose sheep. I think compared to cattle, they're easier to work with, but I think the reality is they're still just livestock. They're always a little difficult to handle. But sheep in general, if they had fencing and they had enough to eat and they had water, were fairly low maintenance. But sheep also had some unique characteristics. They were a little bit jumpy. You've probably got some stereotypes of the way sheep can behave. And in learning a little bit about how they behave, I think what's important to keep in mind is their vision. Like, what does a sheep, what is the world through the eyes of a sheep, so to speak? Well, they have good binocular vision only about 40 degrees, because they have their eyes sort of mounted on the side of their head and high. So things in a 40-degree space in front of them are pretty much all they can see with good precision or clarity. But because their eyes are on the side of their head, they can also see lots of things behind them. They've got really good peripheral vision, even if that peripheral vision isn't very clear. And so this characteristic of their vision affects their behavior. They're very aware of their surroundings, but they have limited clarity about what they see. It makes them skittish. And so sheep have what's called a flight zone, which is just a nice way of talking about this is how much space they want to keep between you and them. And that's they generally err on the side of caution, especially with strangers, that they want to maintain that distance with unfamiliar people or with unfamiliar terrain. And a memorable example of this, the way that sheep have a flight zone, came from a situation where my dad was trying to catch a ram lamb. It was a young lamb that was becoming mature, and so it needed to be taken out from the midst of the flock. And he was in the basement of, he was in the lower level of a dimly lit barn, and he cornered the ram lamb, which would seem like the best way to get a hold of him. But he unwisely entered the ram lamb's flight zone. And when he got within striking distance, the ram jumped up and hit his horns in my dad's head, resulting in 9 stitches to my dad's forehead. Now, the ram lamb's horns are mounted here on the board, so you can infer what was the end and the justice of the lamb. My dad is still with us. The ram lamb's horns are here. Now, the ram didn't know my dad. It was a young animal. It hadn't had much experience. It can't be blamed for it, but it just didn't trust him. My dad could have been leading the lamb to sort of the Disneyland of livestock, but no matter where my dad was going, it didn't want to have anything to do with it. He did not recognize him at that moment as a shepherd. So having charge of sheep doesn't automatically make you a shepherd. Having a bill of sale for a whole flock of sheep doesn't mean that that flock of sheep will automatically hear your voice and follow you. A good shepherd establishes trust. A shepherd shows that they care for the life of the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow him. They're not wrestled to the ground one by one that they might be led out, but they're called by name so that they might let out together. And so the quality of a good shepherd is not in brawn, in the fact that they are physically superior to sheep, because it's a job that even today children perform, the boys and girls perform for their families. Because in a shepherd's care, it's their courage and their faithfulness that are their greatest strength. A good shepherd is attentive to the sheep. They know both the arid and the fertile places where the sheep can be fed. And by their words and their presence, they assure the sheep that they are safe, that they're in the midst of peace. Now, sheep have trust issues, if you might say. They were domesticated more than 11,000 years ago, and were likely that first domesticated livestock. And they actually, where they were domesticated, began in Palestine, in the area where the Bible is written. And many of the characteristics that we use to mock sheep, their low intelligence or their flocking ability, the fact that they follow others, we should probably take responsibility for, because I think they're characteristics that humans desired from sheep. Humans bred them to be docile. They bred them to follow the flock. However, that gentleness, that the fact that sheep are easier to work with, means that they need a protector. Their strong instinct to follow means that they require a guide. And that domestic sheep are now very vulnerable without a shepherd. Sheep will be at peace if they have food and they have a perception of safety. They're at peace and routine, but they need a shepherd to establish that routine. And if they have a shepherd that is anxious, they perceive it. If the shepherd is cruel, they remember. And that flight zone I described can either expand or contract based on their experience. A trusted shepherd can move in close, but a stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee from him. Now, your image of shepherds, as mine is, might be more informed by drives in the country, or perhaps postcards or travel shows showing the British Isles. As good Anglicans, you should be thinking of sheep in the British Isles. However, the condition for sheep and for shepherds in Palestine is very different from the green pastures of Minnesota or the British Isles. Yes, there are green pastures and still waters that are just, as they are described in Psalm 23. But sheep reach that food and that water by being led through the wilderness. Palestine is a fruitful land, but it is a diverse land. There's arid wilderness and oases in the midst, and only an experienced shepherd knows the way. Now, the illustration of sheep and shepherds was a rich one for the Israelites. First, of course, sheep were a familiar part of daily life. Sheep provided wool for making clothes and meat to eat. Even if people were not shepherds, it was not uncommon for a household to have some sheep to take care of their individual household needs. And so sheep provided a familiar and a ready illustration for the Israelites. Secondly, as a nation, the Israelites identified closely with the life of sheep and the identity of a flock, of the flock of God. As you read in today's lesson from Nehemiah, like a shepherd establishes a flock, Jesus or God chose and called out Abram and named him Abraham and led him across deserts to a land that were promised to his offspring. From Abraham and Sarah's children, God promised a new land. He established a new nation. He preserved them through famine, he freed them from slavery, and delivered them from their enemies. God led his people through the wilderness with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, with his shepherd Moses leading the way. And then after 40 years of wandering in a waste place, even though they were sustained with bread from heaven and water from a rock, God led his people into the land of promise to Abraham's offspring by the guidance of another shepherd, Joshua. God sustained this flock in barren places and brought them to that fruitful land. Now, though God was a good and a faithful shepherd, like sheep, the Israelites were prone to wander and to distrust. Only days after their deliverance at the Red Sea, they began to grumble that God had delivered them from the sea only for them to die of hunger. When God provided them with manna, they grumbled that there wasn't more meat, and so God gave them meat. Even as God was giving Moses the right rules and the true laws of the Ten Commandments, the Israelites were building an idol. Even when they entered into the land of promise, fear and faithfulness and grumbling took root among the people. So that in a land of plenty, the shepherds of the people, the kings and the priests, exploited the people and acted faithlessly. They metaphorically feasted on the sheep that they were called by God to feed and protect. This is what Jesus was referring to in John chapter 10, when he spoke of thieves and robbers who came only to steal, kill, and destroy. Kings who entrusted their destiny to foreign powers and other gods. Priests who used their influence to enrich themselves. Pharisees and Sadducees who saddled others with burdens that were too heavy to bear. The people were shepherded by religious rulers who would sooner cast out a man who had been healed of blindness than to believe in the one who had restored sight, believe in Jesus who had restored his sight. So though the flock of Israel was scattered by faithless shepherds, God, their good shepherd and the faithful shepherd, was faithful. He would send his son to be the shepherd of the sheep, to feed them and make them to lie down and rest. The Lord himself would seek the lost, bring back the stray, bind up the injured, and strengthen the weak. The faithless shepherds he would destroy. He would feed them in justice. In Jesus, we see the Lamb of God and the Good Shepherd of the sheep. As an example to the flock of Israel, Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience, seeking not his own will, but the will of God, his Father. And so he was reviled by men, but he did not curse. He suffered, but he did not threaten. He committed no sin and entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And like a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. God sent his son to be the Lamb of God, whose blood marked the way of life, just as the blood of lambs marked the doorways of the Israelites' home as they were in there delivered from Egypt. Jesus is the Lamb of God and an example to God's people. However, Jesus is also the good shepherd of the sheep. As the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus is perfectly equipped to shepherd us, for he knows our every weakness and has overcome our every weakness. He's not a shepherd who needs to check a map or who leads by trial and error and then comes to a dead end and admits, oops, I'm sorry, we'll have to turn around. He is faithful. He sees not as a skittish sheep who perceives danger around every corner, but sees clearly, and he leads us in clarity. The good shepherd sees with clarity and from a higher vantage point, negotiating the hazards first with strength and with wisdom. Sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd, and they recognize it, for he calls us each by name. Jesus is not a shepherd who drives us and puts us into a corner, pressing us from behind, but a shepherd who leads his flock, who goes on ahead of us. Now, sheep can be driven by their fears. If you want them to go left, you push or approach from the right, and vice versa. You can push them towards the things that they fear in manipulation to move them in a different direction. Jesus does not lead us anywhere that he has not already been. From our vantage point, it may appear that we are headed towards a precipice, but he will lead us on a safe path. He leads us into the way of the cross, but death has been defeated. A good shepherd goes on ahead because how else will the sheep know where to go? Jesus cares for his flock faithfully and compassionately and courageously. He's a guardian and a guide both day and night, defending his flock against powers and principalities, gathering the sheep and leading them through the desert wilderness to green pastures. Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He's not a hired hand. He is a shepherd who lays in the doorway. He's the door to go in and out in the day and the night and have abundant life. When we are in the fold, we may rest secure. When we are traveling through the wilderness, he leads us faithfully to pasture and to water. He guards his flock against thieves and predators in the open field. He is a faithful shepherd. The sheep may sleep soundly, though evil lurks in the shadows, for Jesus is ready with his rod and staff. Biblical shepherds are not electric fence and watering trough farmers like the ones and the experience that I had. They are wilderness guides, and the sheep of God's flock are likewise wilderness sheep. To follow Jesus as the good shepherd means that we follow where he has gone. To follow Jesus, he went to the cross before he went up to glory. He leads us through the wilderness to green pastures. In reading today's passage, the words, "not all those who wander are lost," came to mind. But a crucial distinction is the answer to the question, do you willfully wander, or is Jesus guiding you through the wilderness? Do you suffer for rebellion, or is your suffering for Christ's sake? Did you come to the place where you are because we were following in Jesus' steps? Like sheep, we too are prone to wander from our good shepherd, only seeing the narrow field of vision before us. We might wander into treacherous places needing to be rescued, sometimes negligently leading others along with us. We might make personal or professional decisions based on greed or fear, not trusting in the sure provision of God. We might pursue relationships that draw us from the love of God. But freedom in Christ does not mean anarchy or lawlessness. Having been rescued and freed from principalities and powers which steal, kill, and destroy, we still have great need for the Good Shepherd. We were straying like lost sheep, but now have returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of our souls. As Peter wrote, the sheep of God's flock must be known for doing good, not for using their freedom as a cover for evil. Like Nehemiah, whom God gave favor and tremendous influence with the king of Persia, God may give us influence in the most unexpected places. Our freedom is not for evil, but to live as servants of God and follow in Christ's steps. If we wish to enter the green pastures, we need a shepherd to guide us. We need a guide who knows the way to guide, guard, and sustain us through life's wildernesses. We might face the wilderness of chronic illness or working night shifts and the social isolation that we experience with that, or the limits it puts on our relationships. We might battle caring for sick family members. We might battle for teaching students that don't appreciate the sacrifices we make for them, or family members who sometimes act out. We face the wilderness perhaps of a boss who promises a promotion and yet never delivers. We might face the wilderness of searching unsuccessfully for a job or struggling with vocation, or counseling friends and loved ones but seeing very little progress or growth. We might see the wildernesses of estrangement from friends or family. In all these things, as sheep of the flock, keep your eyes on the shepherd. Trust his guidance and provision, for he is gracious and gentle and strong and courageous to those whom he loves. He is holy leadership. He goes before us. He's the paschal lamb and the shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. He's not greedy or fearful. He does not manipulate, but demonstrates vulnerable love, even washing the feet of his disciples, even his betrayer, and laying down his life for sinners. Under the care of the Good Shepherd, we may become people who trust the God who is righteous. The precipices that we walk along, the insults that we endure, or the betrayals, Jesus has endured it already. He goes before us. God does not lead his people into the wilderness to die. He does not lead them to the edge of the sea to be slaughtered. He gives his people right rules and true laws, good statutes and commandments. He provides bread for hunger and water for thirst. And he leads us back from exile into a rich and fertile land. Under the care of the Good Shepherd, we are brought into his flock, the church, that thing which reflects and extends his peace. As a great flock that moves through the wilderness, we who have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls may enfold those who are lost. For after all, we cover the same ground, we cover the same wilderness as lost sheep. We have been found and are headed to green pastures. We say to others, as Edward emphasized last week, come and see the Lord. Our shepherd will feed and sustain you in desert places. God also extends his peace through his flock, so that in times when the Lord seems silent to any one of us, we can turn to our brothers and sisters of the flock and ask, do you hear his voice? Where is he? When the Lord seems absent, we can ask, do you see him? We give testimony to one another through his word, through his spirit, and through faithful presence with one another that he is near to us, that we are people who may walk alongside those who are wounded, fearful, and lost, being the pastoral presence of Christ in an unhurried and unthreatening and a loving way. Our good shepherd loves us. He is faithful. He knows both the arid and the fertile places in the land. In him there is no darkness. By his words and presence, he assures us that we are safe and that in his presence there is fullness of joy. So return to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.